Not to beat a dead horse, but it's looking like that's pretty much what Wall Street is doing this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The stock market is turning into a daily vote of confidence, or more appropriately, no confidence, in the future of the financial sector and of Lehman Brothers in particular. Not only are investors not buying the survival plan laid out by executives of the country's fourth largest investment bank yesterday, they're actually running away in droves. Lehman shares are back in the tank today, plunging another 38% on top of the 45% plunge the stock suffered 2 days ago. All this is sending shockwaves across the financial industry. Shares of Washington Mutual plunged to their lowest value in almost 2 decades yesterday. They're down another 16% so far today. And Merrill Lynch shares have fallen 14%. Now that Lehman Brothers is being forced to sell off assets, investors are on edge that other financial firms may have to take extreme measures to survive. We spoke a short time ago to stock trader Ted Weisberg of Seaport Securities on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. He's looking for some sign of a bottom, but doesn't see one yet.
When everybody gets so bearish that they can feel it in their stomach and they don't want to own stocks, they sell stocks, they don't want to buy stocks, chances are we're pretty close to a bottom, and that's when it'll end. Unfortunately, I don't get a sense, having been on the trading floor for almost 40 years now, that we're at that point. We seem to be in a market which reminds me very much of 1973, 74, which I liken to water torture, which is kind of a drip, drip, drip. You know, you get maybe one day, two good days, and then basically the market just goes sideways or down for 3 or 4 or 5 days, and the pattern tends to repeat itself.
How much concern is there that Lehman could ultimately fail and take others down with them, or at least inflict a lot of collateral damage on the way down?
Well, I think that's certainly a possibility. I hope for a lot of reasons. Clearly, that doesn't turn out to be the case. Unfortunately, we are in an environment now where the cynics are basically driving the train.
Ted Weisberg of Seaport Securities, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
So here's how the overall stock market is suffering through this at the moment. The Dow is trying to pull back from the edge of the cliff. It's down 96 points, or 0.8%, better than it had been. The NASDAQ has given up 0.5%. The broader S&P 500 has lost 0.8%. European stocks are doing no better. The major exchanges there have all dropped more than 1.5%. Asian markets tanked as well. Tokyo's Nikkei closed down 2%. Starting today, New Yorkers will have a new option for getting to work, one they haven't laid eyes on in years, the double-decker bus. The city is trying out a slick blue double-decker. Depending on how it does, New York City Transit may order up a small fleet. Ashley Milne-Tight has been looking into the possible financial advantages.
Right now, tourist buses like this one in Times Square are the only double-deckers in New York. The regular city bus is long and thin, with a turntable device in the middle that helps it take corners. Charles Seaton is a spokesman for New York City Transit. He says that turntable needs a lot of pricey maintenance, so the city's giving the double-decker a try.
You're carrying more customers with a bus that is less complicated to operate and less expensive to operate.
Seaton says the double-decker seats 81, whereas a regular bus seats 60. Tourists who can get a seat on the trial bus will get rooftop views for a fraction of the cost charged by the tourist double-deckers. Miguel Ramos works for tourist bus company The Grey Line. He's not worried about the competition.
Our service is going to be greater, you know, and I think we'll have much more clientele.
He says there's plenty of room for a new bus on the block. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
The Beatles earned a fortune with all their hits. Now Hasbro is hoping to capitalize, or monopolize, as the case may be, on Beatlemania. It's coming out with a new Beatles collector's edition of Monopoly. The game will be on sale before Christmas. Abbey Road is sure to make an appearance. And tokens include a strawberry, a silver hammer, a walrus, and even an octopus's garden.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating global passion to live life to the fullest with 25 runners from around the world. More on global heroes at Medtronic.com.
We're hearing a lot of energy policy debate this election season, but until some kind of light bulb goes on over Washington, we're largely on our own. To cut back on energy use, a lot of us are now lighting our homes with those squiggly fluorescent bulbs. But as Joellen Easton reports, not everyone is sold.
Carrie Lape has a few compact fluorescent bulbs in her Long Beach, California home. She wants more, but first she wants some facts about dimmability and the mercury content.
I don't think there's one place to go and get all the information I need.
So what's keeping Carrie Lape from looking?
I guess inertia. I mean, this is something I want to do, but it just seems like it takes so much time.
The fact of the matter is if they spent 5 minutes online doing some research, it would be pretty apparent.
Jessica Jensen runs a website called lowimpactliving.com. She says she encounters people with questions like Carrie's all the time. She says if people took the 5 minutes, they'd find out there are lots of different kinds of CFLs, both dimmable and not. But the next question is the big one.
I shouldn't use compact fluorescents, right? They're dangerous. They have mercury. I shouldn't have them in my home.
Well, no. The amount of mercury in a CFL totals the size of the tip of a ballpoint pen, and increasingly a lot less than that. A mercury thermometer has more than 100 times that amount.
So I do think that people have to learn about the product, and we're going through a cycle, and eventually we'll get to a point of comfort.
As for Carrie Lape, she just didn't know that in California, CFLs have to be recycled as hazardous waste. So I jumped in the car with her, and we drove to the local collection center.
What are you dropping off for us today?
A compact fluorescent bulb, a couple of them, some regular light bulbs, some batteries.
Some might find this a hassle, but it just got a whole lot easier. Home Depot now has free in-store CFL recycling at its stores nationwide, no matter where you bought the bulbs. In Los Angeles, I'm Joellen Easton for Marketplace.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We invite your thoughts at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.